Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. You want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit mymantires.com and see what you've been missing. That's mymantires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to mymantires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on mymantires.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
In thrust, we trust. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Hi, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and today is November 1st, 2011. Goodness gracious, where's this year gone? Glad you're here with us tonight. Whether you're listening live or listening via the podcast later after the fact, we're glad you're checking out the show. If you're listening via podcast, be sure and try and tune in one Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. We'd love to have you, you know. So this show's for you guys, so be sure and participate and tune in. I want to welcome to the show tonight two brothers, PJ and Patrick Ash. Guys, welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks
a lot. Hey, that's pretty good. This is going to be like stereo now. I can already tell. You know, PJ, I've known you a while. Patrick, I just got to meet you recently. But, you know, both you guys are super, super nice guys and enjoy the hobby as much as anyone else. The reason I wanted you guys to come on the show tonight is I kind of wanted to give people a perspective of competition from two different points of view. If I understand correctly, Patrick, you just recently got into competition. And, of course, PJ's been in it a while. So what I'd like to do is maybe, you know, let's just dig right into it and start talking about that. But before we get started, folks, if you'd like to join in the conversation tonight, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768. If you have Skype, you can Skype us at Warbird Radio, or you can email us at live, L-I-V-E, at rcscalebuilder.com, or last but certainly not least, right there on Warbird Radio under the Listen Live button, there's a link to join our live chat. You can join in and ask your questions interactively or whatever you'd like to do. So be sure and check that out. Well, let's get started, guys. Let's start with you, PJ. For the folks that don't know you or know anything about you, why don't you give us a little bit of background about how you got started in the hobby and kind of where you're at today?
Okay, well, first I'd like to thank you, Mike, and thank Warbird Radio for having me on. I always appreciate and always enjoy talking to you guys, and this is always a lot of fun, and I appreciate all the work that you guys do and, you know, just bringing forth us together with Warbirds and all the stuff that we enjoy doing. So I just wanted to first say thanks for that. I'm a product of my brother as well. We're both a product of an airline pilot. Our dad's a captain for U.S. Airways. And I would say that my love for flying started there. And as far as Warbirds go, I enjoy all parts and all aspects of aviation, but absolutely my passion has always been with World War II aircraft. It's just always been a passion of mine. I like the romance of it. I love the meanness of it, I guess. And as far as modeling goes, my very first airplane, which many of the listeners might have heard of before, it's called the Easy Bee from Cox. And Patrick and I grew up flying, Mike, those little U-controlled 049-powered plastic Cox airplanes that lasted about three flights.
Oh, yeah.
We had just enough space in our front yard. Patrick, if you remember that, we would have to actually start the airplanes and let them go down the walkway. And as soon as they take off, we have to run to the middle of the field before it would swing around and hit either the house or the trees. And we wasted a lot of airplanes way back in the day doing that. And I think that progressed into RC for me. The first airplane I bought was the Easy Bee, and I was 14. And I cut my teeth on that airplane, and then from there it just progressed through college. And it wasn't until actually out of college to where I had actually gotten into the scale side of it, and part of that was meeting Dino and just sharing the passion with him. He and I hit it off for a while, and he started talking to me about competition, and that's kind of where it went for me. So I love taking a kit or a scratch built and recreating it into something that flies, that represented, you know, the real thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, that sounds just about like everybody else, how they got started. Well, what about you, Patrick? How'd you get started in the hobby, and kind of where are you at these days with it?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm probably the person who I can blame the most for this hobby would definitely be my brother. I'm definitely a victim of him. And because of that, Santa Claus brought me the old Cox blue and yellow PT-19 U-control.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I learned how to fly in our front yard. And like PJ said, it just progressed into what it is now, flying giant scale warbirds. And I think probably the time when I really started getting into scale flying or scale building was when PJ started learning to compete at Top Gun.
Yeah.
And being able to go there and do that with him, just it just put something in my blood that I just couldn't get away from, and that was scale building. And as far as the warbirds is concerned, like PJ said, we've grown up in an aviation environment with Dad being an airline pilot, and our grandfather was a big time military man. And because of that, I think that's where my passion came from, the military. It's even going to my career. I work for the 160th Special Ops here in Lexington now. And I just have a crazy amount of respect for the people who have given their lives to the military, and especially in that World War II period. As I'm a full-scale mechanic, and I've always been a big fan of round motors. I always believe that round motors sound much better anyways. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I've always thrived in building aircraft from the World War II era. And so I think with PJ and I both sharing the same passion of that has helped a lot. And it's grown from there, and I can't stop. It's definitely a passion.
Yeah, it's definitely once you're hooked, you're hooked. You know,
you're hooked, and I think probably some of the best times of deciding on building a scale project is doing the history behind it, because I'm a huge history buff when it comes to World War II, and being able to research the pilot and what squadrons he flew in and what aircraft he flew. I think that's almost just as exciting to me as flying the replica that I get to build.
Absolutely.
And being able to meet those, and some of those people, you know, are still alive, you know, like Bud and the old Crow, and being able to meet people like that is just, you know, it's a celebrity for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I understand exactly what you mean. It's amazing. So, you know, you guys, I've seen both of you fly. You're both competent pilots, and you have control of your airplanes. And, what kind of led you into getting into competition? Let's talk to Patrick first this time. What got you started wanting to compete?
Well, like I said earlier, it's mostly seeing my brother. I've got to travel to Top Gun. I think, well, what was it, PJ, 4 or 5 years prior to this past year, and getting to go and support him and seeing that, it was just being around those type of pilots, some of the best pilots in the world that come to this competition. Mm-hmm. And being around that and being around some of the best builders in the world and seeing their product that they bring was just something that was just overwhelming to me. I mean, my first year of Top Gun, it was just, you know, they say time flies when you're having a blast, and that's exactly what happened. Is I flick, you know, snap my fingers, and next thing I know, I'm heading home and I'm depressed. You know, this is a straight week of nothing but a scale aircraft, and it's just, I think that's what got the blood into me, and I said, one day I'm going to do that. And I can remember PJ and I growing up and looking in the magazines and watching the coverage of Top Gun, and, you know, us as kids saying, you know, one day we want to get there. And it was almost an unachievable goal at that time. And to be brought in the mix of it now, it's just a, it's an overbearing. It's totally overbearing. But seeing PJ compete and being able to support him is what gave me the drive to try to get in a scale competition.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, obviously going down there for the first time as a competitor, what things did you caught you by surprise as far as, you know, not expecting them to be a certain way and so on and so forth? And kind of what are the highlights that you remember from that experience?
Well, I'll tell you, it's kind of funny how it all worked out, because I was fortunate enough to be a pit crew for PJ years prior, so I kind of knew the order of things and how things were going to work. You know, so you spend all this time preparing your aircraft to be able to go into a competition, and that alone brings, you know, enough nervousness as it is, because the last thing you want to do is get the Top Gun and have a mechanical problem.
Right.
You know, so you spend your extra time going through your aircraft, inspecting it, make sure it's in compliance with something that's going to be able to compete, you know, for a week straight.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, now being in Kentucky, our you know, there's 4 or 5 months out of the season where we are strictly stuck in our house building because the weather is so crappy outside. So, you know, by the time, as soon as I start seeing the sun come through and the ice and snow starts melting, you know, I'm calling PJ and said, hey, let's get to the field. We got to practice. And I spend all this time, you know, practicing maneuvers, figuring out what maneuvers my airplane likes to do better than others or what I'm more comfortable with. And then I get down the Top Gun feeling confident with my aircraft, because I think I was able to get about 15 flights or so on my P-47 before heading down there. And then I get to the flight station in front of the judges, you know, and I go over my, you know, I've rehearsed my maneuvers before talking to them, and I get up to them, and it's like I'm on a stage, and you get stage fright. You know, you start talking to the judges, and you tell them everything you're going to do, and then you go to take off, and it's like you're flying for the very first time again. And it's like all the years of practicing and thinking that you're a good pilot almost seemed to go away my first flight of Top Gun. I think it's just because you're starstruck. You're flying amongst some of the best pilots in the world, and you almost feel like you don't deserve to be there. But you just keep on pushing through. And I think the thing that helped me out the most is after I finished my third round at Top Gun, I had pretty much made my mind up that I did not make the cut, but I was happy. I had made it through my first Top Gun. I didn't destroy anything. My airplane never had a mechanical. Anything that went wrong with the airplane was self-induced, you know. And so I had finished my Top Gun, and I was happy with it. So I started thinking about, you know, collecting my stuff, and I was sure that PJ had already made the cut, and so the rest of my time was going to be dedicated to helping him. And all of a sudden, my brother comes down and says, "You're not going to believe this. You made the cut." And I went, "You're kidding me!" And I think, and you know, in the last day of flying, I go out, and I was able to score 95 on my last flight round. And I think what helped me the most is prior to that, every time I get ready to go flying, I run down and look at the scorecard, you know, and see where I am as far as everybody else is concerned. And the last time, right before my last flight, I didn't even go look at the scorecard. I wasn't worried about it. I was just so thrilled to have one more flight and be able to make the cut. And I flew my best round the very last day, and I think a lot of it was because I just never even worried about the scorecard. I was there, I went flying, and I visualized it was just my brother and I at the field just having a good time. And that was probably my highlight of my entire trip, was being able to see that I made the cut on my first round, my first trip to Top Gun. And it was just a you know, it, it's just something you just, you can't hardly even explain it. I mean, this is, Top Gun is the Olympics for RC scale flying.
Yeah.
And to be able to be a part of that is something that I'm definitely hooked, and I hope to be able to continue competing and to get better every year.
Well, that's, you know, that's what we all, you know, would strive for, I think. And that's, I appreciate you sharing that, your experience with that. PJ, now as a seasoned competitor, what I'd like, you know, maybe to get out of you is after attending competition quite a bit, what kind of things would you recommend to a person that wanted to get into competition, you know, and maybe give some hints and tips about that?
Go find a real hobby like fishing and save yourself a lot of money. No, honestly, Patrick's right. And let me tell you something. And I bet, you know, you can ask any competitor, seasoned competitor. It's true. You spend tons of hours around the workshop. You spend tons of money on an airplane. You do the best you can do. And then you go to Top Gun, and then you're willing to fly this airplane in weather conditions. You wouldn't even take this airplane out to the field. You wouldn't even take your 40-size trainer out to the field. But if it's windy, and the winds are 90 degrees down the runway, you know, 90 degrees crosswind at 4,000 knots, and your number's up, you go fly.
Yeah.
And Patrick's right. You know, no matter how much practice you do, the endorphins are going. You're excited. You're nervous. Everybody's watching you, and you got to go, and you got to perform. And I think what I have learned in my years of competing was that, it's like, you know, somebody always has the bigger boat. Somebody's always going to be better than you, and somebody's always going to be, in the spot, in the zone when there's no wind and he flies. And then when you go up there, you know, Hurricane Top Gun showed up. It's just the way it is. My advice would be, as always, that you have to have fun. You have to enjoy it. I mean, Patrick and I did one of the worst things we've ever done after we were at Mac Hodges driving home having such a good time. We started adding up the cost to go to Top Gun. And, of course, in the economy that we see ourselves in and everything, you know, everybody's trying to save money. And I look at Patrick and I'm like, why are we doing this? You know, I mean, but it's absolutely worth it. I've got to give huge kudos to Frank Tiano and his team that run Top Gun. The amount of work that has to be done to put together a worldwide type of competition in Florida and to be able to host it at the field. I mean, he is actually, he's got Paradise Field now that they use only several times a year, Mike. And one of them is Top Gun. You have to have fun. You just have to enjoy it. I think Patrick can agree with me. Everybody's asking me all the time, what's the best part of flying and competing? And I really have to say it's Warbird Alley Bar and Grill, which I joke about that a lot, but it's a bar. It's a little tiki. Yeah, you've been there and you've enjoyed it. But it's a tiki bar with a, we now have a refrigerator, Patrick. What do we have? We have a grill. And everybody comes over after the flying is done. We all sit around, talk, and tell war stories, and it's the camaraderie. I think last week when Dino was on, he even mentioned that too. It's just the camaraderie of the friends. You know, we're all a little bit nuts to do what we do, and so with that, that's why we all get along so well. And we get to see people we haven't seen for a whole year, and when we show up at Top Gun, it's a big family reunion, and that's a lot of fun. Now with the introduction of art into a lot of scale competitions, which I know is a touchy subject, for somebody who's really wanting to get involved and learn and work, they can get one of these these arts that have come out from some of these new vendors, and they don't have to have millions of dollars and countless hours wrapped up, but they can scale it out to the best of their abilities and then go compete in some flying competitions where they're actually getting judged on just flying ability alone and just go from there. I also think a mentor is good. I mean, having somebody to kind of follow, and a lot of people know this, but Dino was my mentor, still is. And honestly, and I'll tell you right now, when he's flying, when Bob Bilott's flying, Greg Hahn, when he was there and he was flying, Patrick and I are sitting there taking notes. How is his turn? How does the airplane look compared to the real one? And that's the, that would probably be the other thing I would say is, you know, you always take notes, you always learn, and pick a model that you like to fly, that will, that can fly good. I see so many guys will, they'll get some competition plane that they've never flown well. It's high aspect ratio on the wing. The plane doesn't even fly good, and they go compete with this thing, yeah. And they wonder why they didn't do well. You know, I stick to, you know, giant scale warbirds because that's what I enjoy. Now, if somebody came up to me with a World War One plane saying, "Would you fly my plane?" I'm not that kind of a pilot. If a guy came up to me with a jet, I probably wouldn't do well. Could I fly a jet? Yeah, but that's not what my passion is. So stick with what you do well. I think would be a good one for me.
Yeah, that is good advice. Well, you know, trying to stay along the same things while we're talking about our friend Dean, you know, the thing that I enjoy about watching him fly is he has so much natural ability. But those of us that don't have that, you know, we have to practice a lot. And so you know, I think it's important to really push that forward and make people understand it takes a lot of practice to be able to fly like that.
Absolutely. It takes a lot of practice, and it takes a lot of dedication.
Yeah.
Anybody can take an airplane and fly it around a pattern. But can you take an airplane and fly it to where the person looks at it from a video camera without using any other visual cues like trees and so forth and so on and say, "Wow, that's a real airplane"? And that's hard to do. And you're right. And I've always told Dean this. He's a freak of nature. He really is. He's been able to, I say that in all loving care, but he's a freak. And then there's other guys out there like that. But for the rest of us, yeah, I have to practice. And in fact, Patrick can he does the same thing. I mean, a lot of times if I decide, let's, for instance, and I've flown the Meister scale P-47, as far as I'm concerned, it's the best World War II flying airplane. However, I had a Yellow Aircraft P-47 or a Hangar 9 RF P-47 that I would practice with over and over and over and over again to get my eyes fixed on the cues to the airplane. And then I would take my 47 out every once in a while to just do that final tweaking because the power to weight ratio is different. And people thought my favorite airplane was the P-47. Wow, you've got two airplanes of the same plane. Why would you spend all this money on two giant scale planes? And it's like, because you're dedicated and you really, you know, not everybody really thinks that that's, you know, worth it. But I would much rather spend an extra $1,200 to have an 80 inch version of my airplane. So if it goes in, I'm out $1,200, not $5,000. And then you sell it when you're done. So but you're right. It's the dedication and it's the practice to make that airplane perform as close to the real one as you can do it.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we got a caller. Good evening, caller. You're on the RC Scale Builder Show. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Matt from California.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. I wanted to ask these guys. I'm really interested because they, you know, how they started out. But I'm curious. What is their schedule? What is their maneuver schedule? And how they come up with it?
That's a good question.
Talking about maneuver schedule as far as maneuvers in Top Gun.
Yes.
Well, PJ, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe there is the rule book Frank Chiana puts out gives you a list of scale maneuvers that you can put within your card, and you have 10 total maneuvers that you're required to perform. And there's a couple common ones as far as realism that the judges will scale you on from a 0 to 10, and then you'll have your landing, takeoff, obviously mandatory, and then for me with my P-47 that I was flying, some of the best maneuvers that I felt that would look the scaliest, considering the way the 47 flies, are some of the low and dirty stuff, the stuff with the gear down and the flaps down, and PJ, you flying the Meister can obviously contend with this, is do your maneuvers that make your airplane look the best presentable in the sky, and the maneuvers that you're more comfortable flying. If you're not comfortable flying a split S and you'd rather do an Immelmann, then throw your Immelmann in your maneuvers. Only do what you know that you're best and what your plane is capable of doing. If there's two things I can tell anybody as far as what to do to their aircraft to bring the Top Gun is, one, to have the power available, because you're going to be flying in 90-plus degree weather. So have the power available to do the vertical maneuvers, because you're going to, if you don't have bomb drop and you don't have a scale maneuver as far as gear goes, you're going to have to fly 9 of your 10 maneuvers, then you're going to need the power to get through it. And two, you're going to be dealing with, I mean, every time I've been to Top Gun, there's been 20-mile-an-hour winds, so why not have the power available to push through that? And so that's the biggest thing. My decision I made on the maneuvers I did is what I felt the most comfortable with and what my aircraft was capable of performing in a scale-like manner.
Yeah,
Patrick's right. I was just going to say, yeah, you're right on. As far as Top Gun goes, and Scale Masters and all the other ones are pretty close, but Frank has produced a rule book that has all of the maneuvers and the types of maneuvers, and not only that, what they're looking for. And so, what the common errors are. So you have, for Top Gun, we have 10 maneuvers, as Patrick said. 5 of them are mandatory. Those 5 are takeoff, landing, high-speed flyby, low-speed flyby with the gear and flaps down if the airplane has it. And then that last one is so critical. It's called realism in flight. And what that means is during the whole flight, during all the maneuvers, taxi out, everything, are you trying to replicate the full-scale plane? If you're flying a B-17, don't lift a snap roll for one of your maneuvers. The real airplane didn't do it. And if it did do it, it wasn't a good idea for the crew. Patrick's right. You pick the maneuvers that best make the plane look good, plus the maneuvers that you can do. Patrick's power-to-weight ratio on his P-47 was much better than mine. And so could he pull up, go vertical further than I could? Absolutely. And so what I chose is maneuvers that were either worked with gravity, like a split S where I'm doing basically a half loop from the top, or lower maneuvers. For instance, I could do a takeoff and landing, which are 2 maneuvers. Or I could do a military approach where you break left or break right, depending on where you are, to the downwind. You make a whole turn and you come in for a touchdown. The airplane did a really good job because my airplane was heavy and could punch through the wind a lot better. A lot of competition, too. I know Top Gun you can. You don't, once you pick your 10 maneuvers, well, your 5 mandatory and your 5 that you can choose, you can mix that up. And depending on what the weather was doing, depending on how I felt with my airplane at the pits and I was talking to the crew, we might change the maneuvers. If it wasn't really, really windy and I know that I can do a really good landing and takeoff, I would do a touch and go. And the reason for that would be is because the landing, the touch part, and then the go, that was 2 maneuvers. And so I think it's a long-winded way of answering his question, but I think we got it.
Yeah, and on the opposite side of that, too, you don't want to underrate your maneuvers with the aircraft you have either. If you're flying a P-47, a descending turn is not something that's going to woo the judges, and you'll probably not score real well on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's something to keep in mind, too. Yeah, that's great advice. That's an excellent question. Thank you, caller. And, folks, if you'd like to join in the conversation, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768. Skype us on Warbird Radio. Email us at live@rcscalebuilder.com or hop on the live chat on Warbird Radio and ask your question there. Okay, now here's the really important question I have for you two guys. What's on your bench right now?
I don't know if I can see my bench.
I definitely can't see mine.
Well, I'm working on actually 3. I have 3 choices for Top Gun. One is going to be the easiest one. Wayne Fusel, who owns Solo Props, he sponsored me last year, and he and I flew. We flew his P-47 into 5th place, which I was really happy with. It was the first time I'd actually placed, and actually I was able to take home a trophy. And so that's option one. However, that's a long way away, and I know that if someone came to him with the right price, he's gonna sell it. So my second airplane that I'm working on is a scratch built from 3 views. It's called the Martin Baker MB5.
Oh, yeah.
The Martin Baker company is really, really well known for making ejection seats. And I know that Patrick probably knows the history about this more than I do, but They made all of the ejection seats in every F-4 Phantom that I know of. The last airplane they made was the MD-5, and it really looks like you had the plans to a P-51, and water got on the plans, and this is what you made. It's just a really ugly version of the P-51. The fuselage is longer than the wings, but it is a rocket ship, and I've flown this airplane several years. It's been in a couple of videos from SKS, and I'm stripping it down to the bare bone nothing, putting all the rivets and panel lines back on, and then I'm also working on our platinum. MicroScale has the old PCM platinum 109 with the basically all wood wing version, which I have on posted on RC Universe, and that's another option. So one of the three will be a Top Gun for me.
That's cool. What about you, Patrick? What are you working on these days?
Well, I'll tell you what. I competed with the Georgia Peach P-47 last year. I had a ball with it. But I've been flying the Meister 109, mm-hmm. and is really pretty much my entry plane to being into the Meister line. And it's the truth. ME-109 that I have from Meister flies far better than that P-47 did. Yeah. And because of that, the Falkwolf has always been, the Butcher Bird has always been one of my favorite aircraft. And so what's on my building board right now is that Meister Falkwolf A, and that's what I'm bringing, hopefully bringing the Top Gun next year.
That'd be nice. I look forward to seeing that. That'd be really nice.
Well, yeah, nothing shows more pride. Nothing shows more pride, Mike, than the Ash Brothers bringing two German planes to Top Gun.
I'll tell you what.
But it is what it is.
That's right. That's right. And you know, just to let everyone know, if you're ever at a fly-in or at an event, you know, be sure, and these guys are there, be sure and look them up. They're great to know and get to know. Looks like we got a caller. Good evening, caller. You're on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Well, this is the freak of nature.
Well.
Oh, boy.
Hang on.
The devil himself.
I've been called a lot of things, but a freak of nature hasn't been one lately.
Well, you're special.
Well, at least he was nice on the air. He usually just calls you a freak, you know?
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I'm sitting here listening to this, to the show, and I think it's great. Patrick is doing a wonderful job. I don't have the boost up PJ, but it's good to hear the comments of these two.
Yeah.
But I've got a couple of questions. I'd like to know, really, who was, and be honest, who was your mentor that you looked upon throughout your scale modeling career? It may be 5, 10, 15, you know, 20 years ago, but who was your mentors?
Adam, you want to start this one?
As far as my mentor, as learning the different aspects of skill building, I can't give it to anybody but my brother. He was definitely always the one that was, you know, always that one step ahead where I got to learn. Well, it kind of helped me out because I got to learn the good things he did, and I got to learn from the bad things he did and develop my own techniques. So it actually worked out for me.
He probably learned more from the bad than the good. Well, as far as, you know, aviation and getting into aviation was by far my dad, you know, from day one before even modeling. But your question was really with scale modeling. And to be honest with you,
my question is,
live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com. They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. If you want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes.
Just visit MyManTires.com and see what you've been missing. That's MyManTires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to MyManTires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man Tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on MyManTires.com.
And welcome back to the RC Skill Builder Show. Sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties we had to straighten out real quick. Dean, are you still with us?
Yep, still here.
Okay, super. Guys, you still here with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, let's get back to that. Go ahead. Last I heard, PJ was talking about Dino's dad. Why don't we pick up there?
Yeah, like I said, I wasn't trying to make a tearjerk or anything, but growing up, and when I was actually starting to get into scale, I met Dean. Dean, you and I first met at Ocala, and it was about, what, five months after your dad passed? It was real close after your dad had passed. And you and I spent countless hours going through pictures and books of stuff that, you know, you and your dad did way back in the day, videos. I mean, the most beautiful video, the best, if you ever want the best crash of a perfectly good flying Focke-Wulf D9 going through the trees, Dino DiGiorgio has that video. We laughed about that. Where Dean, I guess Dean thought the trees were a lot further than what they were. I don't know, but that's a whole other show. But just, you know, I've got a picture of the old man looking at my workshop, and I can just imagine him slapping me on the back of the head when I'm trying to go too fast up my rivet and so forth and so on. And just the stories that I've heard from all of the friends that are in our group that knew Dean Sr., you know, and just all the jokes and stuff. I wish he was still here, because I'm sure we could have all learned a lot more from him. He started the WMWA, which I'm the VP of and Dean's the president of now, and just, I don't know somebody who had more passion than that. So I would say he would be up there.
Well, there you go.
I appreciate that.
Well, cool. Well, look, thanks for calling in, Dean. We appreciate it. Everything going okay down your way today?
Everything's going great. I'll let you guys carry on, and I'll just say to Patrick and the guys like Patrick is, as you can tell from Patrick, he never gave up. And Patrick is a good listener, which helps. And he applies the knowledge that he gets around him and applies it to what he does. So keep up the good work, buddy.
Will do, brother.
Good deal.
All right.
Good deal.
Take care, guys.
Hey, we had a question in the live chat for you guys. Let's see. Mike would like to know, would there be any benefit to practicing on a sim like real flight during the winter when you can't fly?
For me, that's going to be a real mixed answer. And the reason is that those airplanes are really good for the hand-eye coordination stuff. I imagine the 3D and aerobatic guys and helicopter guys, it really helps there because, you know, to see what the airplane's doing because of the input you're putting in. But if I had an airplane that glided as well as they do on those simulators, you know, I'd never crash anything. I mean, my P-47 on the simulator, I mean, I cut the power right after takeoff, and I still have runway left over to land on when I come back around. So as far as I would say for me, you know, as far as the hand-eye coordination stuff, yeah, absolutely. If you're going to do a slow roll and you need the input rudder and that kind of stuff, then yes, absolutely. Getting your, you know, getting the left hand to work, meaning the rudder through the maneuvers, I would say for me, yeah, that would help. But don't rely on that. You have to go out and fly the actual airplane in those conditions.
Yeah,
that's for me.
Absolutely. Patrick, what do you think?
And the biggest thing, as I mentioned earlier, there's two things you can account for at Top Gun, or things you should account for going to any competition, is having undesirable wind. You should never fly. And two, the heat. And actually, three, the new thing we got to do this past year was love bugs. And that's another story. anyways, you know, when PJ and I started flying, the simulators was something that was unheard of. And, you know, as far as him teaching me how to fly or us flying each other's aircraft was the whole transmitter switcheroo in mid-flight, you know.
Yep.
There was no buddy box or nothing like that. So like PJ said, as far as the eye-hand coordination, or maybe perfecting your maneuvers in a perfect environment, yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be great to at least be on the sticks in the wintertime. But as soon as that weather breaks, get out to the field, practice in wind, practice in crosswind. Any adverse conditions that you would normally not want to fly at is what you need to fly in before heading to a competition, because that's going to make you a better pilot.
Good advice. Great advice.
Yeah, you know, Mike, one other thing I just want to throw out there. I hear it seems like there's a lot of people that are listening in that either are considered competition or and they haven't done it yet or so forth. And I just want to say one thing to you. If you're listening right now and you don't think you're good enough, I want you to look at your right hand and then slap yourself in the face. And here's why. There are so many good people out there, and I've had so many people come up to me and Patrick and say, oh, I'd love to do this one day, but I'm just not good enough. There are all sorts of competitions out there. And, you know, you, obviously you're not going to go to top gun for your very first competition, and you need to practice. But if it's something that you want to do and it's something that you enjoy, do it and love it. I mean, you're just... The only way you're going to ever be able to compete is to go compete, you know? And I just don't want a guy that's flying an RF Warbird thinking he's not the caliber for competition. Patrick and I specifically went out and bought RF Warbirds, and all last year we flew the living pants off those things, so they're fun, you know? And we didn't have to fly. And sometimes it seems like competitors that do this type of competition are a different, you know, that are held in a different standard, and it's not. We take it to the next level. You go, you learn, you meet people, and if it's something that you're wanting to do, I'm always open for questions at any time, and get involved and do it, because it's a great part of this hobby. It just changes the whole aspect of what you do.
Yeah, that's good advice, good advice. Well, guys, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. I think it's been a great interview and very educational for everyone. So, I would like to hopefully get you guys back sometime in the future and we can talk more about, you know, what you're working on and, you know, what you got going on, if y'all are willing to do that at some time.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, well, super. Well, that sounds great. Well, look, we're gonna move on to the next segment, but I wanted to thank you guys again. And, I'm sure we'll see. Are you guys going to be at 12 o'clock high?
I'm not going to be able to make it this year. It's just too much going on, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, I hope we get to meet up soon, because we always have a good time. That's all I can say about it.
Oh, absolutely.
So, all right. Well, you take care, and we'll be talking to you guys later, okay?
Okay, thanks,
right,
Mike.
Thanks very much.
All right, thanks again. All right, folks, that was PJ and Patrick Ash joining us here on the show to talk to us about their experience with competition. I really wanted to have them both on here because, as you heard, Patrick's kind of a new competitor, and PJ's a seasoned one, and we kind of wanted to get two different aspects, you know, of or opinions of you know, what they thought of it and how they how they view the competition. And you know, that's real important, because when you talk to someone who's involved in competition, everyone you talk to is going to talk a little bit of a different aspect of it. So be sure and talk to a lot of folks and just get out there and practice. It's that simple. So anyway, these guys are giving me grief, or Matt's giving me grief in the
I have not said anything to
live chat there.
I have been
talking about my flying. Boy, that's the pot calling the kettle black.
Oh. Okay. All right. We should have a fly off at any given point.
Anytime.
I'm ready. We'll let Dino be the judge.
Yeah, I hear you.
You're flying old airplane, aren't you?
Yeah, but you can't fly a Park Zone P-51 in a fly-off.
The hell I can't, buddy. You just bring it on, Chilson.
I got to tell you something funny, though. It was real windy I guess it was Saturday at the rally, and Dino and I both had our little Wildcats down there, our little Park Zone Wildcats, and we got them up in the air, and it was so funny because we were basically like hovering them. You know, they were just sitting there beside each other. Yeah,
I think I've flown all of them now, and the Mustang is still my favorite.
Really,
it's still my favorite. And you know, if you're going to fly through a bunch of awnings, Mustang's plenty to do it with.
So, yeah, I'm not going to tell people what you do with that airplane.
But. Not that I would condone that, but you know, sure is fun. Hey, you know what I've heard? I forgot about this, but this weekend is the big weekend down there in Georgia, up there at the Fort Valley Flying Field. This is this weekend, isn't it?
This weekend, yep. Yep, it sure is. I'm not going to that one because of the Alabama-LSU game, so...
But, they won't let you leave or something? What's going on?
I would rather watch that football game.
Well. Well. I thought you didn't get your passport or something.
Though. You forgot how important SEC football is here.
I suppose so.
And how dare anyone.
Are you into that fantasy football league stuff too?
Not at all.
How's your level 80 mange doing? Is it?
No, that wouldn't be me. That would be, never mind. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to shut off while I'm ahead. Fantasy, I think you're confusing football. Me with someone else.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Hey, I thought I heard the Godfather theme for a second, but it was just Dino calling.
It was just Dino calling.
Yeah, it was just Dino. Yeah. And I'm glad that it went well. But I swear,
Giorgio's Pizza.
Yeah, this is his ringtone when he calls up. You know.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I couldn't believe it, but anyway, that was good to hear from him. I was impressed. That was like Bob Violet calling in. You know, right up there with that would have been awesome if. Uncle Frank had called in too. That'd been pretty cool.
Yep, absolutely. Would have had the whole thing.
You know, I have a question for you. Do guys go down there to fly like a week beforehand? Because you'd think that. I mean, I know they can't fly right there where they have sun and fun all the time. But you'd think that they'd go down to Florida. There's got to be a field around there somewhere and learn how to, you know, see how the airplane does down there. Because I know guys coming from up north and they travel down south. The engine's going to run differently. I mean, things are going to behave differently. The wind in Florida is always, 20, 30 miles an hour?
Yeah. I know everyone that I know that goes down there the week of, like that Monday or Tuesday, and has a couple of days of practice and, you know, gets everything together. That's kind of a big event. But, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, there's sometimes guys that the level of pilots at that show are just, you know, so different. And you know, it's not that there's a wide array of pilots there, obviously. Everyone from, you know, somebody who's got a couple of contests under their belt to these world-class flyers like Mr. DiGiorgio. And, you know, it's amazing to see so many different ones. And, you know, if you can't make it, pick up one of the videos. You'd be amazed to watch some of these guys fly. So...
Well, I'm looking forward to the challenge. I'm ready for the. Someone just wrote into me. They said we were ready for the Park Zone Challenge. I'm ready, Mike. I will officially challenge you here on the air to a fly off.
Okay, I think we're going to have to go videotape that.
We will. We'll have to do it. We'll have to do it at some point. But you're hereby on notice, buddy.
Okay,
you're on
the
notice.
Park Zone fly off.
We'll have to have like a limbo contest and some good stuff.
Inverted limbo.
There you go. I'm ready. I'll practice. I'm going to go practice up.
So. You know, I tried to get the Swede to fly my little Park Zone, and he wouldn't do it. So I don't know what was up with that, because I know he can fly. He's flown for me before.
I know. Well, we'll have to see. We'll see. I don't know when we're going to do this, but we're going to do it. Maybe Dino can judge. So.
Now, Dino will want to get involved in it. That's come out there trying to trim our tails.
He'll want to do it. There you go. Well, that'll be fun. Yeah. We'll have a good time with that. But all right, cool.
Absolutely.
Good show, Mike.
It was a lot of fun.
I learned a lot. And, you know, Patrick was so honest about it, talking about that first time flying down there when he said, all I wanted to do was finish. You know, how many times have you been there? I know my first contest, it was the same way.
Yep.
You know, absolutely. Just all you want to do is throw up.
Get it over with.
Get it over with.
And it's
with.
So funny because it's just like you said, you practice and you practice and you practice.
Yeah, and it all goes out the window.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just that's the only thing that you're hanging on with by a thread is all that practice, right. You know.
Yeah, I agree.
And, but, yeah, you know, I guess it's just like anything else, you know. You get used to it after a while. But anyway, so – So did you have a lot of trick-or-treaters last night?
We had, no, we didn't have any.
Really? You didn't have any trick-or-treaters in your building?
No, but a security guard will do that for you.
Well, y'all don't have any kids that live in the building?
No. No, I think there's two.
Oh. And they're kept in a closet, right?
Yeah. They're not allowed out past dark. So.
I told you this
no,
morning.
No, we really didn't have any. And I asked the front desk last night because they kept a bowl of candy there. And they said, we didn't buzz them in. So, you know, that helps. That kind of cuts down on it. So
I told you what I did last night for the trick-or-treaters, didn't I?
No.
Yeah, about...
you told me you handed out hash browns, but...
I handed out Orida frozen hash browns to each kid.
You were... Oh, gosh. Well, that's better than last year.
Ungrateful little ingrates, I tell you. They kept throwing them back at the house. I don't know what that was all about.
Last year you gave them broccoli, if I remember correctly. So that's better than... That's better.
Moving up in the world.
I'm going to give everybody a cat next year that comes by. So,
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Baby kittens are going to go home with kids. So wouldn't that be a good idea? Boy, you'd be the most hated man in the neighborhood, wouldn't you? So,
pretty much.
No way.
I can't believe how many folks we got in the chat room tonight.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in there tonight.
Yeah, a lot of people listening in tonight. I appreciate everyone listening. Just a couple quick things before we wrap it up tonight. Some upcoming events. We got Warbirds over Fort Valley this weekend in Fort Valley, Georgia. That's always a great event. 12 o'clock high. Is December 8th through the 10th in Lakeland, Florida. And, of course, certainly last but not least, I was trying to remember the date of the Southern Dawn Patrol.
Yeah, it's usually in December, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in December down at Mac Hodges. I'll get that for next week.
Yeah. Sorry about Dave Mahaffey getting bumped tonight, then.
Yeah, sorry, David. Yeah. We kind of got behind a little bit.
And our regrets to Bob Violet as well. But
we can get him up next time.
Yeah, first weekend in December is what I'm hearing about Southern Dawn Patrol in the live chat. So,
right. Yeah. And that's at Matt Hodges down in Americus, Georgia. So anyway, yeah, Mahaffey's in the live chat with us. So sorry about that, David. We'll get you on next week.
Yeah, you and Matt Damon, Dave. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you and Bob Violet.
I would love to have Violet on the show. When are you going to have the Zeroli guys back on?
Well, you know, if Nick Senior whatever would stay home for a week, and
you gotta
I know
talk
you're listening
to his people.
Nick, so you need to let me know when y'all are both going to be in town, and we'll get you both on. I'd love to have those guys on.
It's
here.
Senior
so
versus Junior. You got to have it on.
Yeah, they are so much fun, you know, and we enjoy having them on here, and it was great. I got to spend some time with them in Toledo this last year, and. Nice guys, you know, you just don't get much nicer than that. So, I really enjoy it.
I don't know if I can play this, so I'm not going to play it, but
somebody just sent me
a great video and it, okay. I don't know if I can play this or not. Are there any kids listening tonight? I really don't know if I should even play this, but all it said was, it just said, Mike Chilson's dad. And here we go.
By the way, you know, I joke about California, I tease them, but they're good folks. I've been out there, they have a great sense of humor. The main reason I don't go too often is the distance. To get to California and get back and stay on schedule.
You know who this is, don't you?
Yes, I
know. Now, some of y'all may know already. I've had this lifelong
fear. Oh, man. Yeah, you gotta look up James Gregory. I've seen this before, but absolutely kills me. He said it reminds him of you every time he sees it. So
yeah, that has to be David Mahaffey. That sounds like him.
Anyway. Good video, though. He does have a striking resemblance to you, though, with hair. A little bit longer.
With hair? With hair.
A little bit longer hair. You have hair.
People think I don't have hair, but I do have hair. I've seen the pictures.
From,
I keep it cut really short, so there's a reason for that.
Yeah. Well, good stuff.
And Dino emailed me, and he says he does want to judge our fly-off.
He is on, buddy.
That's right. Maybe you can fly down for Warbirds over Georgia this next year.
Absolutely.
We can do it, you know, and then you can fly your plane of shame home.
Oh, I don't want to even hear it. The plane of shame, huh? I'm going to wipe your you-know-what with it. Hey, if you want to see Mike with longer hair, just click on his video on YouTube and feel free to watch it anytime. But this is it right here. So Mike's the guy on the left. So anyway.
With the polyester on.
Yeah, with the bell-bottoms on. So
yeah.
Good show tonight, Chilson.
Hey, I had a great time. You know, it's always fun to get on here and have fun with folks in the RC community and the Warbird community. We just have a good time, you know, and if you can't have fun in life, you just don't, you know, something's wrong. So it's what it's all about is just enjoying yourself when you can. So anyway, we're going to wrap it up tonight, I guess. And I appreciate everyone listening. Be sure and tune in next week for another great episode of the RC Scale Builder Show and what's going on in RC Scale. Also, be sure and listen to more Warbird Radio. There's lots of great programming here. And if you haven't checked it all out, you really need to do it. And I want to say, remind you, is it Monday night when Gerald's show's coming on?
Yeah, Hawkeye. Monday night, but coming up here pretty soon. Closing of the month.
Right, we've got a new plastic modeling show coming on, and be sure and check that out. There's information on the homepage of Warbird Radio. We look forward to his show and checking it out and learning some new tips and tricks ourselves. So that's going to do it. We'll see you guys next week, and until next time, remember to measure twice and cut once. Good night.
This is my favorite part of your music video, by the way.
Thank you. We're going to go out on this.
Yeah, we're going to go out on this. Look at that close-up, Chilson. How did you get your pants so tight back then? I really don't know. I know you're still there.
Yeah. I'm still here. And you know what? All I can say is, you know what they say about payback.
Yeah, I know. Good night.
Good night, everybody.